This Marketplace podcast is supported by Invest Puerto Rico. What's next in innovation? That's not the right question. It's where. Puerto Rico, more than just a tropical paradise, it's innovation's paradise, where startups and global players coexist in a vast and vibrant ecosystem, where talent runs deep, highly skilled, and bilingual. Plus, the island offers the most competitive tax incentives in the U.S. If you believe your business can go anywhere, Puerto Rico is the place. Find out more at investpr.org/marketplace. Again, that address is investpr.org/marketplace.
The downside of too much insurance for bank accounts. I'm David Brancaccio in New York. You've probably heard it by now, the shorthand number, $250,000. That's the amount of money the Federal Deposit Insurance Corporation will cover for a customer if the bank went under. But that rule has been bent lately with the sudden failure of two banks. I spoke with Patricia McCoy, a professor at Boston College Law School and an expert in financial services regulation. She's one of the many voices who worries that more insurance can encourage banks to take stupid risks. Note that I spoke with McCoy before the news broke that Treasury Secretary Janet Yellen stands ready to insure more than the normal $250,000 limit at smaller banks. Professor McCoy, thank you for joining us.
My pleasure.
As we get more days under our belt thinking about that dramatic step at Silicon Valley and Signature Banks of making sure that even uninsured deposits got back to depositors, where are you on the wisdom of that step?
I'm very worried with the actions that we saw a week ago that we will now have much higher risk-taking in the banking system. There's a lot of research that shows in countries that have very high deposit insurance caps or no cap at all, unlimited deposit insurance, banks gamble with depositors' money to a much higher degree.
That's really interesting. I thought this was going to be a theoretical discussion, but you're saying there are real-world data out there from other countries that have different systems that show a connection, that if you guarantee more or everything, you get more risk-taking.
That's exactly right. There are countries that are far less generous than our country is with the extent of deposit insurance, and they seem to have fewer bank crises.
Some voices in Congress were mulling over this notion of insuring all deposits. That is not something you would like to see?
No. And I don't think that there's any need for that. Most ordinary people are not remotely going to hit the deposit insurance cap. What we're really talking about is protecting very affluent people who keep very large checking or savings accounts at a particular bank or businesses.
So if people are absorbing your point about moral hazard, as economists call it, you know, that if you guarantee everything, people are going to take risks because they know there's a backstop from, say, the federal government. That is one thing, but there's also this contagion effect in which a bank doing the right thing can get affected if there's a run at a bank not run as well. And there must be a public interest in stopping the spread of contagion.
There is a public interest in stopping the spread of contagion. However, I want to emphasize that we do not have a problem with generalized bank runs at hundreds of banks. The problem of bank runs is that a very limited number of banks that ran themselves recklessly, they did not hedge the risk that interest rates would go up, and they had very little cash on hand available to pay depositors if they started to have elevated withdrawals.
Boston College Law Professor Patricia McCoy, thank you very much.
My pleasure, David.
And today we also talk about how joint bank accounts are eligible for double the FDIC insurance. And we hear of the NBA star who reportedly once had more than 50 bank accounts to keep all his money insured. You can find that conversation at marketplace.org if you miss it on the air today.
Thank you. With access to so much information, it's hard to feel like an informed, discerning citizen. That's why on Make Me Smart, which is a podcast from Marketplace, we make it easy for you to stay in the know. Hi, I'm Kai Rizdahl. Every weekday, Kimberly Adams and I unpack the latest from Washington, D.C.
The Senate Minority Leader has announced that he will step down as the Republican leader.
What's happening in AI? I mean, don't buy at the top, but holy cow, artificial intelligence and all the companies related to it are the hot new thing. And we do the numbers.
So as a refresher, inflation is the rate of increase in the prices of things. It's not just sort of things getting more expensive. It's the speed at which things get more expensive.
Because in a world that's constantly changing, we all need to stay smart. Listen to Make Me Smart wherever you get your podcasts.
The Los Angeles Unified School District workers are on strike for a second day today. It's teaching assistants, custodians, and others. It's not the teachers' union striking, but teachers are supportive and not crossing picket lines. One reason for the strike now, the labor market. Despite all the companies planning for a recession is not here, and there's still a lot of hiring in a tight labor market. Marketplace's Stephanie Hughes reports.
Cars honked their horns, and workers cheered as they marched near an L.A. school on Tuesday. 52-year-old Matilde Hernandez was among them. She's a special education assistant for the district and says people don't really understand the role she plays with high school students.
I get to be the last teacher, the last person for them to learn something, maybe not learning to write or read, but maybe something social that's going to help them in the life.
Hernandez's union, SEI Local 99, is calling for pay increases, more full-time work, and increased staffing. Across the country, median pay for teacher assistants is under $30,000 annually. Yet, strikes among these educators who aren't teachers?
I think in recent times, it hasn't been common at all.
Jake Rosenfeld's a professor of sociology at Washington University in St. Louis. He points out the tight labor market and the offer of higher wages from the private sector gives these public sector workers new leverage.
A kind of dispute in LA such as this speaks to the power that low-wage workers have actually gained in the last 2 years.
The LA Unified School District says it's offering opportunities for career growth and significant pay increases. Rosenfeld says whether we see strikes like this in other districts depends on how tight the labor market continues to be. I'm Stephanie Hughes for Marketplace.
We're also covering the limited release of Google's new chatbot powered by artificial intelligence. This Google rival to ChatGPT is called Bard. It stands alone from the normal Google search, and there's a wait list to try it. Among concerns, AI technology can spread bad information. A study finds that an upgraded ChatGPT spread more misinformation and hoaxes than an earlier version. In New York, I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Morning Report from APM, American Public Media.
With access to so much information, it's hard to feel like an informed, discerning citizen. That's why on Make Me Smart, which is a podcast from Marketplace, we make it easy for you to stay in the know. Hi, I'm Kai Rizdahl. Every weekday, Kimberly Adams and I unpack the latest from Washington, D.C.
The Senate Minority Leader has announced that he will step down as the Republican leader.
What's happening in AI? I mean, don't buy at the top, but holy cow, artificial intelligence and all the companies related to it are the hot new thing. And we do the numbers.
So as a refresher, inflation is the rate of increase in the prices of things. It's not just sort of things getting more expensive. It's the speed at which things get more expensive.
Because in a world that's constantly changing, we all need to stay smart. Listen to Make Me Smart wherever you get your podcasts.